بعض لوگ طویل عمر کے لیے روزانہ ورزش کرتے ہیں.
A lot of people, in order to get a long life, they exercise every day. They've kept a treadmill at home, they spend half an hour walking on it. They try to eat good, nutritious food. And from time to time, they go to the doctor for a medical checkup. What is the purpose of all of this? Is that they want that my life should be prolonged and my life should always be in health. And we've seen that women, that they diet and they try to control their weight. And it appears that they actually make a lot of effort and sacrifice and struggle for this. But they do this, why? Because they want that we should be attractive to look at, and we want that we should have health, and our life should always be in a state of healthiness. And then they even use anti-aging cream so that our face should remain looking like a young woman. And we've seen that some other people, that they go to Hakim, traditional healers, and ask them to give them the elixir of youth and give them all of this. Is why? Because they don't like old age, they don't like wrinkles, they don't like having arthritis, and then they don't want to become old. So they're trying to extend and prolong their youth, and they miss their youth. So now we will mention tonight to you that no one would have told you before, but only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the real benefactor of all humanity, he told us. And that truest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that person who reconciles the broken ties, Allah ta'ala will increase their lifespan and Allah ta'ala will put barakah in their rizq.
Which means that you have good relations with your relatives. Even if they harm you or they hurt you in any way, then you should join with them.
If they give you worry, you should still be nice and happy with them. And to maintain this relation, to preserve this relation, and not to let these relations break off ever, this is called Sila Rahmi. So Sayyidina Rasulullah said that person who does Sila Rahmi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase their lifespan and put barakah in their rizq. So now we should make use of this formula that the Prophet ﷺ gave us. And let us see then how long our life will become. Shaykh Qab ibn Ahrar Amtali said that I swear in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that being who parted the seas for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, that is written in the Torah, that person who fears Allah Ta'ala and maintains and mends the broken relations, Allah Ta'ala will extend their life, Allah Ta'ala will help them in their work and their tasks, and Allah will help them in their work and their tasks. So this is a formula that was been told to previous ummahs as well, and they followed it and they got benefit from it, and Allah Ta'ala told this ummah as well. So this is a formula that has been coming for previous prophets as well. But it is seen that people like and prefer that people like to have the formula from the best healer. So that is why Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ is the best healer. So when we know that Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ said this, then that supersedes anything that may have preceded in the Torah or any other previous teachings. So we should make a firm commitment that we want to spend our whole life on Sila Rahmi, on mending and maintaining the broken relations between family members and relatives. So now, if the relation is broken, how can we mend it? That's a whole topic in of itself. So the first question was, how can we prolong our life? How can we get health and barakah in our life? How can we get youth on our face? How can we get such a life in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is with us throughout that life? That Allah ta'ala's rizq, Allah ta'ala's help is in our rizq, our sustenance. So for that, a person should mend the broken ties. And we should know that it's not just life that we want, but we want to have closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What value is there in a long life if we're not close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So then the real question is, how can we get the qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we become, increase and improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it comes in hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah ta'ala says, I'm Rahman, and I have made mercy part of myself. Whomsoever joins themselves with the attribute of mercy, they will be joined with me. And whoever cuts themselves off from the attribute of mercy will be cut off with me. Means that person who is merciful to others, Allah Ta'ala will join his relation with him. So we want that our relationship should be joined with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala gave us a formula for this, that we have to be merciful in our relations with others, then Allah Ta'ala will connect our relation with him. So now look, if our beloved Allah Ta'ala is showing us a way in which He Himself will reach out to us, so why not to adopt that way? And those who love the beloved, the love that the beloved has for the lover is often hidden, but sometimes they manifest it. So the love the beloved has for the lover is often hidden, but sometimes they manifest it. But the love the lover has for the beloved is... always apparent, never silent. It can never remain silent. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to change this relationship, it just can be done in a second. Sometimes people come and they will tell you that, oh, I want to meet you. So you tell them, okay, come to my house. Where is my house? What time should you come? Nothing is mentioned. Just said, come home. And there's another person, old friend. If you find him after many years, you run into him and he says, salam. And you say, oh, come with me. I'm taking you home with me. So there's a difference. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Musa alayhi salam, that when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam came to meet us, to the place of meeting us. But when Sayyidina Rasulullah salam was observed, Allah ta'ala said that praise be to Allah ta'ala who took the Prophet, his servant and slave, means the Prophet salam, to him on the night journey and then on the Miraj. So from Musa alayhi salam had to come for the meeting, but the Prophet was taken for the meeting. So there's a difference. So Allah Ta'ala sent Burak, a steed, to bring the Prophet ﷺ to him. And as far as Musa ﷺ goes, Musa ﷺ had to come on his own. So if we want to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, we have to make mujahida, we have to make effort, we have to strive, we have to cry, we have to do everything at our disposal in our ability. And even then, we have no assurity that we will reach the destination or not. That's if we do it on our own effort. However, if Allah Ta'ala says there's a way to Him in which He will pull us close to Him, then we are guaranteed success if we adopt that way. In that way in which Allah Ta'ala has revealed His intent, that anybody who comes in that way, Allah will Himself draw that person close to Him. When Allah Ta'ala makes such an intent, so that a drunkard like Bishr Hafi can become drunk in the intoxication of love. When Allah Ta'ala makes an intent to draw a person close, the leader of the thieves, Fuzail ibn Ayaz, can become the leader of the awliya. When Allah Ta'ala makes an intent, Junaid Baghdadi, who was a wrestler of the world, he became the wrestler with the nafs and taught people how to wrestle their nafs. So what is this way that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, that if we adopt it, Allah Ta'ala will draw that person close to them? That is called Sila Rahmi in Hadith, that the person who mends the broken ties and maintains and preserves the family relations. And there's no easier way to get the qurb with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, because then there's no easier way to get close to Allah Ta'ala than that way in which Allah Ta'ala Himself draws us close to Him. So the first thing is that that person who wants to have a long life and health in long life, and they want Allah Ta'ala's help in their rizq, he should do Sila Rahmi. And second, that person who wants that my relationship should be connected with Allah Ta'ala, I should be drawn close by Allah Ta'ala to Allah Ta'ala, he should also do Sila Rahmi. In one hadith it comes, Ali ibn Husayn rahimahullah ta'ala narrates this, that on the day of judgment, Allah ta'ala's angels will make an announcement that the Ahli Fadl, you should stand up and rise, and you will go into Jannah without any hisab. So some, without any accounting. So some people will stand up, and then the angels will ask them, who are you? And they will say that we are those people who used to do Sila Rahmi. We used to join the bonds, we used to mend broken relations. That's why we're called Ahli Fadl. And they will be entered and admitted into Jannah without hisab. Then they will make an announcement that the sabir, the patient one, should also rise, and they will also go into Jannah. So some people will rise, and the angels will ask them, who are you? And they will say that we are the ones who used to stay away from sin, and we did sabr, means self-control. Sabr, one meaning of sabr is to be patient over difficulty. A second meaning of sabr is to have endurance and perseverance and steadfastness and self-control from sin. So those people will also go into Jannah without hisab. Third announcement, that those who are the neighbors of Allah Ta'ala rise and go to Jannah. Some people will stand up, and the angels will ask that, who are you? That Allah Ta'ala is describing you as His neighbor. So they will say that we were the ones who always used to remember Allah Ta'ala at all times. We would remember Allah Ta'ala in every hal, in every state, in every place. So then such zakireen, Allah Ta'ala will admit them into Jannah without hisab. So if you want to enter into Jannah without hisab, you should make Sila Rahmi. You want barakah in your rizq, make Sila Rahmi. You want to be connected to Allah Ta'ala, make Sila Rahmi. Therefore, the person who does Sila Rahmi is called Abzal, is called the most virtuous person. One Sahaba asked Sayyidina Rasulullah that who is the Abzal, the most virtuous person? So Sayyidina Rasulullah responded, that person who does Sila Rahmi, who enjoins the good and forbids the evil. So one of the things mentioned in the Hadith is Sila Rahmi, that this makes a person one of the virtuous and best people. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that once a Sahaba said that, O Rasulullah, that tell me something to do in which I can go directly to Jannah. And the Prophet said that be firm on Tawheed, pray your Salah regularly, and give Zakat on time when it's due, and do Sila Rahmi. So Tawheed, Salah, Zakat, and Sila Rahmi. These are the four things that anybody who does them, they will go straight into Jannah on the Day of Judgment. In another hadith it comes that Sayyidina Rasulullah loves two steps. One is that step that a person takes towards going to the masjid for Fard Salah, and second is the step they take towards going to the family relatives to make them happy, to do Sila Rahmi, to maintain relation or to mend the relation, to participate in their, to reach out to them. So now reflect on this, that Fard Salah and Sila Rahmi were were equated in this hadith. So that gives us an idea of how important and valuable it is in the eyes of in Allah Ta'ala's regard. On the day, another hadith, it says that on the day of judgment there will be three people. We did one hadith last night in which it's mentioned that there will be seven categories of people in the shade of the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. In this narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentions three categories of people who will get the shade of the Arsh of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. One is the people who do Sila Rahmi. Second, the widow who for the sake of her children didn't get remarried and dedicated her life to raising her children, Sabira. And third, the one who makes others happy. So these three types of people will get the shade of Allah Ta'ala's Arsh on the Day of Judgment. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, who was the originator and imam of our Silsila Aliyah, he says that there are three things that are guaranteed. They're like set in stone. Number one, that if a person who is being oppressed, mazloom, if he does sabr, Allah Ta'ala will increase his izzah, Allah will increase his honor and grace. And if a person does sila rahmi, Allah Ta'ala will give them a lot of wealth, abundance and blessing in their wealth. And that person who, for the sake of earning wealth, spends a lie, Allah Ta'ala will make them mahroom of a'mal, of good deeds. They will enter, they will end loss in mal, they will end up in financial loss. So if they lie to make money, they will end up in financial loss. They will get stuck somewhere, they will face some loss. So what's the reason? Because they were lying. And because they lied, Allah Ta'ala will deprive them of their wealth. The ulama mentioned many benefits of Sila Rahmi. Number one is that Allah Ta'ala draws that person himself closer to him. Second, because of that, Allah Ta'ala sends mercy on the whole family, not just the person who mends and maintains the family relations, but the whole family, the whole relatives, the whole clan get the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Third, the person who does Sila Rahmi will go into Jannah without hisab. Fourth, the person who does Sila Rahmi, his sins will be forgiven by Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Fifth, that the person who does Sila Rahmi, Allah Ta'ala accept his a'mal as-salih, his good deeds and acts of worship. And then there's a hadith that the person who does Sila Rahmi, Allah Ta'ala will even help the status of the country. Allah Ta'ala will uplift the condition of the people in the country amongst which lives a person who does Sila Rahmi. Sayyidina Rasulullah once made intention to go on a journey. And a person came to the Prophet ﷺ and said that if it's marrying beautiful women that you want, or you want to have fine horses, or you want to have rule, then let's go to this particular area and we should wage war over there because there are beautiful women there. So the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Ta'ala has prevented me from going to that area because they are people of Sila Rahmi. So even those clans that had Sila Rahmi, Allah Ta'ala stopped the Prophet ﷺ from an expedition against them, even though they were unbelievers. So it shows us how important Sila Rahmi is for in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The person who does Sila Rahmi, Allah Ta'ala, because of their barakah, pushes back the worries and difficulties. He is protected from dying a disgraceful death. The person who does Sila Rahmi, Allah Ta'ala puts abundance in their risk. And Allah Ta'ala lengthens their lifespan. The person who does Sila Rahmi, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is himself happy with them. And Allah Ta'ala makes others happy with them. Allah Ta'ala makes others' hearts happy with that person. Everybody thinks fondly of him. Everybody likes them. The person who does Sila Rahmi, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala helps them personally. The person who does Sila Rahmi, Allah Ta'ala makes people praise them in their tongue. Allah Ta'ala praises them through the tongues of other people. The person who does Sila Rahmi,
Allah Ta'ala
those of his relatives who have already passed away, their ruh gets happy in alame arwah, that, oh, our son or our daughter, she is mending the relations in our family. So they get happy. Even the arwah of those who have already passed away get happy. The person who does sila rahmi, the angels are happy with them. The person who does sila rahmi, shaitan gets disappointed and depressed when he sees them. The person who does sila rahmi, he gets the sawab reward of a sadaqah jariyah, of a lasting charity. And one interesting thing, that the person who does sila rahmi, that even if they're a sinner, but they, even if they, the person who mends relations, even if they're a sinner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in their wealth and their children. So the person who does sila rahmi, even if they're a sinner, because of this act of doing sila rahmi, Allah Ta'ala will put barakah in his wealth and his children. This is why you will see that a lot of people, they have ghaflat, but you will see they have a lot of money, they have a lot of children, they have good children, even their children become pious. Although the father wasn't so pious, the child becomes an alim. Why? Because maybe that father had sila rahmi. Maybe he was the one who joined all the different factions in the family. Once a person came to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallam, and he said that, O Prophet sallam, that there's one person who really bothers me a lot. There's one person who really bothers me a lot. However, still I'm doing sila rahmi with him. I still keep my relations with him. So Sayyidina Rasulullah said that if you do that, then know that Allah Ta'ala will send an appoint an angel to help you in all of your work. Before Sayyidina Rasulullah's Nubuwwat was manifested, once a famine came on the Quraysh, and they were so hungry, they were in a state of hunger, they had no food to eat. At that time, Sayyidina Rasulullah went to his uncle Ibn Abbas and said, "Oh my uncle, that me and you, we are both in a good condition, whereas..." No, he said that, "Oh my uncle, that at this time Allah Ta'ala has given me wealth and you are very worried because of your famine and hunger. So may I become the caretaker of your children." So Ibn Abbas said that you can take all my sons from me except one. So the Prophet ﷺ took all of his sons, and during the whole period of famine and hunger, the Prophet ﷺ took care of those sons. This is even before the Prophet's prophet was manifested. And then imagine what were the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ after the manifestation of Nubuwwah. Sayyidatana Jubayriya radhiyallahu anha, she said that Sayyidina Rasulullah wanted, she told the Prophet that, "I want to free a slave." So the Prophet said, "That is better that you then free a slave and give him, instead of freeing, give it to your uncle. Because your uncle is an old man and your uncle needs to be served. And then when the uncle dies, the slave will automatically become freed." Maymuna radhiyallahu anha also asked the question that she wanted to free a slave. So the Prophet said that, "Give her to your relatives, you will get more sawab." Ibn Mas'ud, who was the faqih of the Sahaba, the jurist of the companions, his wife Zainab, she came to the Prophet once and she said, "O Rasulullah, that this time I am rich and I want to give some charity. However, my husband is poor. So can I give charity to my husband? Volunteer charity." So yes, sometimes it happens that there are poor husbands who get married to rich wives. So Sayyidina Rasulullah said that if you give your nafl sadaqah to your husband, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you double reward. So this sila rahmi, a person has to do with different people. First, a person has to do it with their parents. The Prophet says, Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, "Bil walidaini ihsana," that you must be on the noblest and most excellent and virtuous and beautiful treatment and relation with your two parents. And the Prophet ﷺ said that in the father's happiness lies the Allah Ta'ala's happiness, and in the mother's anger lies Allah Ta'ala's anger. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that don't say to your two parents even the word "uf." It comes in one hadith that there are three things that if a person does them, they will die a good death. Means that they will die on kalima. Number one, by doing khidmat of their parents. Second, by taking care of somebody who is weak. And third, by being kind to those who are under you, your underlings, your employees, staff, etc. So number one, the person who does khidmat of the parents. Number two, who takes care of the weak. And number three, the person who is kind to those who are under them. Allah Ta'ala will give the person tawfiq to have a death on kalima. And another hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah said that there are five things that if a person does, Allah Ta'ala will give that person more risk and will raise them on the Day of Judgment as if they have mountains, heaps and heaps of mountains of good deeds. Number one is that they do khidmat, service to their parents. Number two is sila rahmi. Number three is they give sadaqah, charity. Fourth is that all the time they remain in wudu. So all the time remaining in wudu is also a means for us getting barakah in our rizq. In another hadith, the Prophet said that there is no person who is of a mature physical age who looks at his father or mother with a gaze of mercy, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at his mother or father with a gaze of love. In exchange for that, Allah ta'ala will give them the sawab, the reward of one maqbool hajj, accepted hajj. The Sahaba were asked about something, that, "Oh, beloved Messenger, that what if even if he looks at his parents 100 times in a day?" So the Prophet said that, yes, Allah Ta'ala can even give greater than this. It means that every gaze, Allah Ta'ala will give the reward of one Hajj Maqbool, accepted Hajj. And it comes in one hadith that that person who would love that Allah Ta'ala give them a long life, he should be very kind to his parents and he should do sila rahmi. His life will be long and he will get barakah in their rizq. Ibn Abi Dunya, in his Maqanim, he has written a very interesting hadith that Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik narrates that Sayyidina Rasulullah said, when the invitation of the father of their children, the prayer of the father for his children, is the same way that the dua of a nabi for his ummati. The status of the dua of a father for his children is the same status of the dua of the nabi for his ummati. No. Then the dua of the child for his parent is the same way, is also like the likeness of the dua of a Nabi for his ummati. So the dua of the parent for the child is like a Nabi making dua for his ummati, and the dua of the child for the parent is also like that of the child making dua for parent is like Nabi making dua for his ummati. So again, Allah Ta'ala showed the two-way mutual relation. To understand one point, the ulama have written that if a person does hajj on behalf of his parents, then their parents will get the reward of that hajj. If a person does hajj on behalf of their parents, the parents will get the reward of one hajj. And that person who does the hajj will get the reward of 9 hajj. And now look at the mother, that the Prophet ﷺ said that paradise lies underneath the feet of your mothers. When Sayyidina Abu Hurairah used to go home, then he used to say salam to his mother, and he would say that may Allah Ta'ala reward you with the best reward due to the way that you took care of me when I was young. You nurtured me and were my caretaker and upbringing me when I was young. To the mother, then she responded to Abu Hurairah that, oh my sweet son, may Allah reward you with the best of reward that you have been in my old age. You were supportive of me and taking care of me in my old age. Muhammad ibn Sirin related about him that when he used to be with his mother, he used to lower his voice and used to talk to her in a soft tone. Muhammad ibn Muntadhir is narrated about him that when he used to meet his mother, he used to put his cheek on the ground and said that, oh my mother, I want you to put your foot on my cheek. Umm Salma radiallahu anha, once her parents were unbeliever, so she asked the Prophet, what should I do? That my parents are unbelievers. The Prophet said, even if they are unbelievers, you have to still be with them in the most noblest of ways. So it comes indeed that that person who in the lifetime of their parents was not able to be of service to them. They neglected the parents, they were lazy, they were busy in sin, or they never realized that they were supposed to do this type of service. So now the parents have passed away. Now he feels that, oh, I should have done more for my mother or more for my father. So there's a hadith about that also. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that after the parents passed away, then you should be in good terms with the friends of your parents. Then Allah Ta'ala will still write your name on the Day of Judgment amongst those who are loyal children. So strange that Allah Ta'ala honors the friendship of the parents so much. So that person was unable to do service for the parents. Allah Ta'ala still wants to give that person the reward for that. Allah Ta'ala didn't decree that, okay, you're mahroom forever, you're deprived forever. No, if you couldn't do the khidmat of your parents, then why don't you do khidmat of the friends of your parents? Then you will still be raised in the Day of Judgment as a loyal and obedient son. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, he did a lot of ikram to Abu Hurairah. So Abu Hurairah asked why, and Abdullah bin Umar said that because you were the friend of my father Umar, so that's why I'm doing a lot of ikram of you, because after my father Sayyidina Umar has passed away and you were his friend, so I'm doing a lot of ikram, very respectful towards you. Ibn Umar was once walking on the road, and all of a sudden one Bedouin, he stood up and he didn't have a camel, so he said salam. So Ibn Umar recognized him instantly, said, oh, this was the friend of my father. So he got off of his camel and he gave him his camel, and he even gave him his new clothes and said that you were the friend of my father. And the ulama have written that that person who every Friday goes to visit their parents, to visit them and to inquire about them, that Allah Ta'ala will write that person's name amongst the loyal and obedient children. Then that person who was not able to be of service to his mother, similarly, he should do service of his maternal aunt, Khala, because Sayyidina Rasulullah said in the hadith, Al-Khalatuk al-Umm, that the Khala is like your mother. That you should treat your mother well, and you should treat your father well, and your sister well, and your brother well, and then whoever is close to any one of them. So the people who are close, your father, mother, brother, sister, those who are close to your father, close to your mother, close to your brother, close to your sister. Now hear the hadith from another perspective about the children. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that when the father kisses the child, so then the fragrance of the child is actually from the fragrance of the of Jannah. So the fragrance of the child has been referred to as the fragrance of Jannah. Now what father is it who wouldn't want to kiss their child after hearing this hadith? Then when Sayyidina Rasulullah Sayyidina Hassan Radhanu came to him, and then the Prophet kissed him. So there was another Sahabi there, and he said that, O Prophet, that I have 10 sons and I've never ever kissed any one of them ever. And so then Prophet then said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deprived your heart of merciful affection, what can I do about that? If Allah ta'ala has deprived your heart of merciful affection, what can I do about that? So that means that this is the merciful affection and love that a person, a parent has, due to which they long to express their love for their children. It comes in hadith that Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala an, that he was young, he was a child, and because he was a child he wet his pants, or maybe he went to the bathroom, and so the Prophet told Umm Aisha to clean him, but it wasn't her own son. So when she started washing him, so she was a little bit careful, trying to keep away. So when the Prophet saw that she was being a bit careful, so they told, oh, Aisha, move back. And then the Prophet himself washed his najasat. When Sayyidina Rasulullah was praying Salah, and Sayyidina Hussein Radhiallahu Anhu, he came, and he, on sajda, he climbed on the back of the Prophet, and the Prophet was doing a long sajda that the Sahaba were amazed. Then when Hussein Radhiallahu Anhu got off the sajda, then the Prophet raised his head from sajda. So later the Sahaba asked the Prophet that, O Prophet, that you did such a long sajda. And the Prophet said that if he had stayed on me longer, I would have been in sajda even longer. So one Sahabi said, looking towards Hussein, and he said that your steed was so wonderful that you were riding. And then the Prophet said that, no, my rider was very good also. So this was the love that the Sharia teaches us. Now, What a beautiful deen it is. Then look at to have good relation with your elder brother. The Vatsam said hadith that your older brother is like a father to you. So to have respect of your older brother is you should respect your older brother the way a son respects their father. And the older brother was told that the younger brother is like a child to you. So the same way you would be caretaking towards your children, you should be as looking out for your younger sibling. Then same thing that for a girl, your older sister is like a mother for you, and your younger sister is like a daughter for you. And then the Prophet said that if that person who has two daughters, and he raises the daughters deen and gets them married in a virtue, then that person will be together with me in the same way the two fingers of a hand are joined with each other. And then the Prophet said about the wife that the best of you is the one who is best to his wife. And then the Prophet said that Allah Ta'ala has taken Allah Ta'ala has pleaded the case of women and said, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ in Quran, that you should keep them in the noblest ways that are known. So that person who is kind and affectionate to his wife on the day of judgment, because of that person following this amal of Quran, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive this person easily on the day of judgment, because Allah Ta'ala said, this person honored my statement that I, Allah Ta'ala, wanted him to treat his wife well. Then Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that indeed Allah Ta'ala commands you to have justice and fairness and to have virtuous noble excellence and to give to the near relatives. And Sayyidina Rasulullah's Razai Khala means Halima, rather than a sister, the sister of the woman who wet nursed the Prophet. Once she came, and the Prophet, when he saw her, he took off his shawl and he spread it for her, and he said that, "Oh, welcome, welcome, my mother, sit on my shawl." This was the sister of the wet nurse, Halima, rather than of the Prophet. Here comes another hadith that the best charity is to give charity out of mercy to your relative. Maymun bin Mihran rahmatullah used to say that there are three things in which a believer and unbeliever are the same. There are three things in which the believer and the unbeliever are the same. The first thing is fulfilling an oath. Even if you make an oath or promise with the disbeliever, you have to fulfill it. Second is amanat, that if a disbeliever gives you a trust, you must return it to them. And third, that if in family ties, if you have relatives who are disbelievers, even there you must do sila rahmi with them. Then you will see further, the Sharia has taught us how to treat the family members well and how to treat the community well and then how even to treat animals well. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that you should be merciful towards those who are on the earth, that being who is in the heavens will be merciful towards you. Then their average people don't know and don't study knowledge and they don't keep the company of the ulama. So tonight we want to mention also in detail that what does it mean to be on virtuous relations with your family? Number one, you should have a relationship of love and affection with them. Number two, that if you have any dealings with them, you should be generous in your dealing, lenient in your dealing, soft in your dealing with them. Every now and then you should send them gifts, whether it's fruit or some present or something that is need or necessity, or give them some food. All of this is counted. And if they send you some gift, you should accept it happily and show your appreciation. You should try to protect the modesty and chastity of your relatives, the women in your relatives, so their wives, their children. And if they are needy, you should inquire about them and ask about them. And you should try to help them. And if they're without earning, without other jobless, they have no income, then you should try to support them. And when you do all of these things of service to them, you should never make them feel ingratiated to you, indebted towards you. You should never remind them that I have this, done this favor for you, this favor for you. You should do it selflessly. You should take part in their happinesses and their sadnesses. If they ask you for a loan, you should give it to them. When they come to meet you, you should be as welcoming to them as possible. That you should not try to search the faults and expose the faults of your relatives. And if they're near relative to you, you should not join their enemies or join those who have hurt them. You should not have any bad feelings or malice or spite or hatred towards your relatives. You should view the honor of your relatives as the same thing as your honor, or their disgrace as your disgrace. What you love for yourself, you should love for them. Then, for the sake, you should always make dua for their hidayah and their falah, their guidance and their success. If for any reason some dispute happens between the two of you, for 3 days you can break off relations, but after that you must resume your salam and your interaction and speech with them. If they make a mistake, you should try to explain to them gently. If they fight, you should become close. If they deprive, you should give. If they harm, you should be patient. And if they fight, then you should resolve the fight through softness. And even if you have to deprive yourself for their benefit, you may do so. There are two cars which are blocking.
ABB 4959 or ALH 8786. Please, apni gaadi remove kar le, rasta block ho raha hai.
Up to now, we were talking about Sila Rahmi. What are the virtues and merits of Sila Rahmi? Now, the next thing you should listen to as well is that if you break relations, what is the punishment Allah Ta'ala sends? So it becomes more clear. How much does Allah Ta'ala dislike it if you cut off relations? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran that those people who cut off those relations that Allah ta'ala commanded them to join, and in a hadith, the Prophet said that that person who breaks relations, there is nothing worse than that in which in this world or in the Akhirah, Allah Ta'ala will give them punishment. So there's no greater sin than breaking off those family relations and the punishment a person will get in this world and in the Akhirah. It comes in one hadith that the fragrance of Jannah that will come from a distance of 500 years. So you can imagine that when you go to Haram and their air conditioning even wafts outside. So even if you go 50 foot away from the door, you will feel the cold air of their air conditioning. Just like the cold air of the haram can start coming to you 50 foot before, just like that the doors and gates of Jannah will open, and its fragrance will come 500 light years close to a person. So the fragrance of Jannah will come at a traveling distance of 500 years. But two people won't be able to smell that fragrance. One, the person who is disobedient to their parents, and the second is the one who has broken off family ties. It comes in a day that there are two sins, that the punishment of those sins will definitely, you'll be punished for them in the world also, in addition to the Akhirah. One is zulm, to be of oppression and unjust and unfair to someone, and second is to break off family ties. Then the next thing we should know is there was a sheikh of Khurasan who used to live in the Haram Makki in Makkah Mukarramah, and he did a lot of ibadah and he was very pious, and people used to come to him and deposit their trusts and articles with him as a trust. He was so well respected and well liked in the community. One day a person went on a journey, and when he returned, before he returned, it turned out that he passed away. The person went on a journey, and when he came back, it turned out that this person passed away, the one who used to keep the trust of people. So he thought that, oh, I miss this person so much, I wish I could see him in a dream, and if I ever see him in a dream, I'll ask him that what happened. So sure enough, he saw him in a dream, and he asked, what rank did you get in Jannah? And the person said, oh, I'm in Jahannam. He said, you're in Jahannam? You used to spend all the time in Haram al-Makki, you used to make tawaf, you used to make ibadah, you used to make duas in Makkah Mukarramah. So many people had trusted you that they used to deposit their articles as a trust with you. You never missed your prayers. How are you in Jannah? He said that, yes, these were all my amal, were as you described. However, my sister was in a different country, and I was angry with her, and I never ever made up with her. Because of this, I've been sent to Jahannam. I think it may have been parents and not sister. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that Allah Ta'ala has commended me with 9 things. Number 1, that I should fear Allah Ta'ala publicly and privately. Number 2, that I should speak the fairness and what is true, whether I'm happy or upset. Number 3, that I should be fair and balanced in all situations, whether in poverty or in wealth. Number 4, I should join relations with whoever even breaks off from me. The 5th, the person who is deprived, I should try to grant them something. 6th, the person was unjust to me, that I should forgive them. 7, that I should remain silent in contemplating, and that my gaze should always have chastity, and that my heart should be filled with the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, and that I should always do good deeds, a'mal salih. So what we learn from this is that the teaching of Deen of Islam is that we must mend our relations with the family and relatives. And if we do, then if we don't, then a person will get a lot of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should reflect on our situation. Even if we live, even in the Muslim societies and Muslim countries, you will find that the close relatives even have anger with each other. Brothers are angry with each other, sisters are angry with each other, brother and sister are angry with each other. They, as close as they should have been, that is as far as they have become. They are leg pulling each other, competing with each other, undermining one another, undercutting one another, accusing one another, slandering one another. And some places there's a cold war, some places there's an all-out war. So hot war means an all-out war. They may even use weapons against each other. Once we read a strange incident in a book, that there were two brothers that after their father passed away, they got land and inheritance, and then they divided that land half and half, and there was one tree on that line. One said, the tree belongs to me. The other said, no, the tree belongs to me. And they couldn't settle this matter. So then one of them filed a case in the court, the other then responded, filed his response. So it became a long case, and there were so many cases of fees of the lawyers, so they kept having to sell the land. So both of the brothers sold the land, and then by the time the court date came, they had both sold off all their land to pay the lawyer's fees. So the judge said, okay, cut this tree down, give him half the wood, and give him half the wood. So as close as the person was supposed to be to you, you will see the people are against each other. And if the others will never hurt you, it's your own who will always hurt you. It's not others who are slandering you, it's your own who will slander you. They manipulate things, they make lies out of nothing. They just need to know. If they just hear one thing about you, then they will multiply it and magnify it. Not only do they have enmity, if their enmity is successful and you get harmed, they get happy when they hear of your harm. They get happy if they hear that any difficulty happens. They get so happy if they hear such a thing. So now, if imagine in a Muslim society, this is the state of Sila Rahmi, that where will the barakah of Allah Ta'ala come on that society? So why do we blame and say that, oh, Allah Ta'ala is not sending His mercy? Who told you that? That Allah Ta'ala's mercy has stopped? Has He given you the remote in your hand that you can... It's up to us whether we mend the relations, Allah Ta'ala will send us risk, and if we break off relations, then Allah Ta'ala will break off His sending His risk. Even two brothers will go to court, and when he wins, he will act so happy as if he became the president of the whole country. And when do these relatives meet each other? Either they meet each other on some occasion of happiness or some occasion of sadness. So somebody passes away, the different family members come and they all meet one another during the course of condolences. Or somebody gets married, all the different family members show up and they all look at one another. But even on this wedding, sometimes the brother won't come because he's so upset. That's how broken the ties have become. So if the ties are so broken, then where is the love, the affection, the compassion that was supposed to be there? It means that our family lives are becoming already like Jahannam in this world. So who knows if anybody can save themselves from this punishment in the Akhirah. You see every clan, every town of the people, you will find this widespread, that the family members are against one another. How low have the Muslims fallen? The Muslims are not even worthy of showing their face in the public global society when the Muslim societies are so much fighting between the family members. And that beloved messenger, Sassan, who Allah Ta'ala sent, of such pure character, who was sent to treat us, to teach us this pure character. Now it's a shame that in the same societies that call themselves Muslim, they're far from his reality. So yes, a person may treat a stranger well, but they still don't treat their own relatives well. So when this is our condition, it means that we have never really understood and accepted this proclamation of Allah Ta'ala as Ar-Rahman. Instead, we are following a shaitan. And the last but not the least thing we will mention tonight is that on Laylatul Qadr, there's a hadith that Allah Ta'ala forgives all of the sinners for all of their sins on Laylatul Qadr. And on the night of Qadr, on Laylatul Qadr, Allah Ta'ala forgives everyone all of their sins. But there are few that Allah doesn't forgive. Amongst them, there is one person who breaks their family relations and has let them spoil. So if on the night of Qadr you cannot get forgiven, so then when can that person ever get forgiven? What other chance is there for them? So that's why we selected this topic tonight, because the night of Qadr is possibly here or otherwise near. So if anybody, we are upset with them and our family members, we should try before this month of Ramadan ends to make up with them, to patch up with them, to reach out to them, say now so some made dua. But that person who cuts off relations, let him get up from my assembly and leave. So one young man, he got up and he left, but then after a short time it came back. So the Prophet said, "Where did you go?" And he said, "Oh, my aunt was angry with me, so I went and I asked her forgiveness and I made her happy, now I've come back." Now Sayyidina Sub, now we will make dua, and now when you make dua, your dua will reach above the arsh. So if there was one person like that, that the whole dua was stopped because of this, then he left and made up with his family and came back, and then the Prophet said that because of you, we will accept all of our duas. Allah will accept all of our duas. So we should reflect tonight that we, in our heart, we have bad feelings, ill feeling, hatred, spite, not even just to our fellow Muslim, but to our own family members. So we have to forgive them. And if we forgive them, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive us for our sins. If only in this world we could learn to quickly forgive one another, so that Allah Ta'ala will quickly forgive us. Remember that Sayyidina Rasulullah said that person who, however quickly he forgives the faults of others, on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him as quickly. And then listen to one more thing that Sayyidina Rasulullah said, that if a person asks forgiveness from someone, one Muslim asks forgiveness from another Muslim, and the other one says that I don't forgive you, so maybe we made a mistake, and so we went to ask forgiveness, and then that other Muslim, he says in response, no, I don't forgive you. So if the person says the words that I don't forgive you, then the Prophet said, okay, this one who doesn't want to forgive, then he shouldn't come in front of me on Hawza Kawthar. I don't want to see his face. So strange thing the Prophet said, that if somebody comes to you and sincerely asks you for forgiveness and you respond that no, I won't forgive you, so the Prophet said that person who says that they won't forgive, then he shouldn't come to me on Hawza Kawthar. I don't want to see his face. So may Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. May He realize how important the family ties and relations are. May He enable us to mend them and maintain them. In exchange for that, may Allah Ta'ala join our relation with Him. There's no way we can join on our own. We haven't made that zikr, we haven't made that effort, we haven't stopped our nafs, we haven't done any of those things. So what hope do we have that we can connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala? We have one way, that Allah Ta'ala Himself connects us with Him. So Allah Ta'ala, we are unable to come towards You. Allah Ta'ala, You drag us towards Yourself. Allah Ta'ala, cast the gaze of Your mercy upon us. Allah Ta'ala, drag us towards You. Connect us with You. Join us with You. And in this blessed night of the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala, make it the night in which we connect with You. And Allah Ta'ala, it is difficult for us, but it is easy for You. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, bin amin. Make Muraqabah.